Hey there, guys. This is Alex Lux, and this is the October episode of Classic Camera Revival. Now, in the past, we've all pretty much waxed poetic about the cameras we've talked about. So today we're going to talk about the cameras we don't like. That's right. It's October. It's spooky. And this is a cream of the crap episode.
Coming to you live from Toronto, Canada, this is the Classic Camera Revival. If you don't have gear acquisition syndrome now, you certainly will after listening to our show.
Okay, so we're just going to jump right into this shit fest and start bad-mouthing cameras. All right, so why don't we start with Mike?
All right, so my camera of choice. All right, let me rephrase that. My camera of not so much of a choice is actually the Helena 35X. Now, I've gone on many times on a small rant about this. Some people have said, oh, why don't you like your Helena 35X? And then I've gotten a few replies back with various pictures that are basically just a blank frame, all black. And the caption is, it vignettes a little. Well, honestly, the lens really does vignette quite a bit. I've got a couple shots that I've taken with it. And I was so unimpressed with this camera that honestly, I even did like a 10-second audio blog on it, and my blurb was pretty much how to use this camera. Simple, don't.
Oh,
it is so bad. When I first got it, and this is actually a really common problem, you can read anywhere that people talk about this, the aperture is basically glued and the focus is basically glued. Anybody that knows the old Agfa folding cameras, they used some kind of weird helical grease that ended up turning into almost like a green cement. I think right. With the Helena, they went crazy with this stuff and they actually put epoxy into their grease. And over time, it just becomes solidly glued in place. I tried to take it apart. When I tried to just take it apart, I actually ended up with abrasions on my fingers just trying to unscrew the focus from infinity to, I think it's about 3 feet. And then sure enough, the focusing stop pin just broke and the lens just completely unscrewed right from the end. So
wow.
Quality nasty. Control isn't there. Now, I will say one really nice thing about this camera. It makes a great doorstop. It makes a really good showpiece. But aside from that, if you see one, set it on fire.
Oh, well.
But tell us how you really feel, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was a great way to start it off. So let's go with John and your idea of a disposable camera.
Yes, I'm going to talk about my least favorite camera, the reason why I had to buy one, and my bad experiences with all four of them that I've had, and how I was able to arrange things, never have to use one again. Sometimes you see a listing on eBay, you don't quite read the fine print. And like one of my favorite lenses is the Helios 44, because you know it's based on the Zeiss Biotar.
Oh,
gorgeous
those are
lens.
Gorgeous lenses.
And so I saw one in 39mm screw mount.
Right.
I said, oh, wow, you can get this lens for a Leica. Pull the trigger. Then I read, oh, this is for an oddball SLR. You know, you can screw this lens on a Leica, but the registration, the distance to the film plane is completely wrong. Will not work. Will not focus because there's no rangefinder coupling pin. So I said, okay, well, I'm stuck with this beautiful lens, and this is a beautiful, one of the nicest examples of the Helios I've seen.
All you have to do is basically picture a Zeiss Biotar with that wonderful silver body, and that is this lens. Yeah. It's stunning.
But I had to find a body to shoot it with. So I did some research. Okay, what you want is a Zenit 3M. I think there's a couple other ones. It's an oddball SLR, sort of late 1950s or more like early 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And to put it technically, what a piece of utter crap. I've had four of them. Three of them are broken. One of them only slightly works. One broke because it was my fault. It's similar. It's sort of like shares a lot of similarities like with a Zorki or a Leica, so that if you change the shutter speed at the wrong point in the procedure, I think it's if you
You can't change it when you've depressed it. You need to cock the shutter and then you can change.
Yeah, it's like the big Kievs as well.
Yeah.
The Frankenblads.
And so that's how I broke the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ordered a second body. I was much more careful with this one, but it broke. Then I got a third one. The mirror doesn't stay down because the little mirror catch is worn. And I have a fourth one that sort of works, but at that point, let's just say it was a bit disenchanting. Here I am with this beautiful lens. And then so what I did a bit more research and found that I was able to get an adapter for basically a 39 millimeter screw mount to Canon EOS adapter. And after checking with or talking with Mike a bit, I think it went to the big one. Basically big camera show in Toronto, and I purchased I think for about $15.
Yep.
An EOS Rebel, and the lens mounts perfectly. It's stop down mirroring, but it's preset anyway, so who cares?
Yeah.
And I got a second EOS body online just to have. So now I have two great ways, two modern cameras to use a great lens. And as for the Zenit 3M, the best accessory you can get for this camera is a blowtorch.
Lovely.
So far, two cameras down, both of them, set them on fire.
All right, Donna, let's hear about your crappy camera experience.
My camera of choice, per se, is the Diana. Now, okay, don't get me wrong, the Diana's really cute. It's small, a lot of women like it. Come on, it's a woman's camera. But to be honest with you, it looks and feels very cheap. It's plastic, it's light, I guess that's a bonus, but it is absolute crap. You go out, you shoot your pictures, even the pictures when you develop them, you take them out, they're horrible. This camera is just something that I would really not recommend. It's just, it looks like a child's toy, feels like a child's toy. I don't even know what to say, that the pictures are just, they're horrible. Absolutely hate this camera. I would not recommend it at all.
So burn it?
I would say burn it. For all you people out there, especially women, it looks cute, as I said. They come in different colors, different shapes, but I really recommend do not buy it. It is a waste of money.
Now, is this the original Diana or the re-release from Lomography?
The re-release.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, just for the record, I don't actually recommend burning the Diana, considering it's made out of plastic. That's pretty toxic
fumes.
True.
Yeah.
But the other two cameras, burn.
I don't even think, now thinking about it, the lens, is that's not even glass.
No, it's
plastic.
Really crappy plastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they took it off of one of those pop bottles. I think that's all they do. They just cut the plastic sort of warped.
I think it's good for just decoration and that's...
If you definitely want to shoot a camera along the same lines as a Diana, I would highly recommend going with the FPP Plastic Filmtastic Debonair. It is truly a much sturdier camera.
Or even a Holga.
Yeah.
The plastic
Holgas are really good.
Yep.
I like Holgas.
Absolutely. They are.
And again, they come in different colors.
Both much, much better cameras. I'm probably going to get killed for saying this, but my camera of choice for the crap pile is the Bronica SQ-AM.
Ah!
What?
Not
well, actually,
the
AI. SQ-AM. Yeah. You know what? I agree with him on this one.
Why?
Okay. So I never got along well with my Bronica SQ-AI, but the lenses themselves are fantastic. The SQ-AI is a great camera. It's when Bronica decided to put a motor drive onto it that it just became a pile of crap. And the reason I say that is because, A, it's much heavier than it has to be. It's a lot bulkier than it has to be. And even though you have the grip on the side, it's still not a comfortable camera to use. I mean, it's much better suited to be a paperweight or a doorstop. And probably the worst part about this camera is that it's a battery hog. I mean, this thing takes 8 AA batteries.
Whoa. Well, that's going to really add to the weight.
That might last you a roll of 12, if you're lucky.
It's that bad?
It is that bad.
Wow.
I mean, I had the thing. Now, I was also out in cold weather, but that might have had a factor to it. But again, these were fresh batteries that I bought that morning, and loaded it into this camera.
I don't think you're shooting in Siberia. They should last.
This was Covington, Kentucky.
Not known for a lot of frostbite.
Not known for frostbite. Exactly. Now, I mean, it was a pretty brutal winter that year in 2011. But still, I mean, this camera gave me so much hell that when I mentioned it to Matt Mirosh, because I had gone up to Finley for the first Polaroid party, he says, "Oh, it's a Bronica? Well, of course it's broken."
I don't know. I've never once found a broken Bronica.
Yeah, well, I mean, the SQAM is certainly not a good choice of camera. If you buy one and it happens to have some lenses with it and a waist level finder, keep those. Spend the money, buy an SQA or SQAI body, because that's the only real way you can get a decent camera from those automatic lines, those modern lines of Bronicas. They're just awful.
Now, one thing you have to tell us, Alex, is what would be your chosen method of destruction for said camera?
Tactical thermonuclear device.
Wow.
Nuke it from orbit just to be safe?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's going a little bit beyond burning it.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Thermonuclear fire. Cleanse the earth of its scourge.
There's an opening for audience participation there. What's your least favorite camera, and how would you destroy it?
Yes,
absolutely.
Please let us know.
ClassicCameraRevival@gmail.com or tweet
Special
at us.
Bonus if you send in a video.
Yes, please.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Okay, so now that we've gone after the cameras, let's go after film stocks that we aren't particularly pleased with. So let's start with John.
So my least favorite film that I have ever used has to be the Fomapan 200. Now, I like the Fomapan 100 in medium format. I shot a lot of it over the years in 6.45 format when I was doing a lot of work with models, because it had a really nice classic look. So I thought, well, let's try the 200. Even the 400 is not that good.
No,
but
it's not.
The 200 is grainy, not sharp. I just scanned like garbage. Mm-hmm. It is just amazing how the same outfit that could produce a competent 100 speed film could not produce a 200.
Oh.
And
yeah.
then their 400 film, it's not 400. It's 200 at best. It's grainy, and
even in 4x5.
Yeah. All I can recommend is, you know, Fomapan, their 100 is a very, very nice film and often available very cheaply, very affordably.
And pushes beautifully to 400. Yeah.
But the 200 and the 400, unless you're into a really lomo, grainy, unsharp look, I would run away. It's a perfect match for the Zenit 3M, I must say.
Now, I actually shot some FOMA 200 this summer. I developed two rolls in Rodinal and two rolls in Extol. And even the Rodinal time that they put on there is low. I mean, it was underexposed. And this was metering with my spot meter in my Hasselblad. And I mean, not even a Hasselblad can improve this film stock. I mean, I probably got a grand total of one photo I really liked out of it, which was actually a very important photo that I needed, which was the bell of the HM frigate Shannon from the War of 1812, which is on display in Halifax, Nova Scotia. So that was very important that it turned out, and it did. And I developed it in Extol, and Extol times are dead on, but the Rodinal times, you might want to at least start at 30 seconds from what's printed on the box and what's on the massive dev chart.
I'll agree that with the FOMA 200. Now, before I completely agree and destroy the FOMA 200, I did shoot the FPPs. What is it? Their EDU 200 stuff they have.
That's a slightly different formulation.
Yeah, it's their traffic surveillance.
Yeah, that's a traffic surveillance film.
And the first time I shot it, I sort of determined that it would be the last time I ever shoot it. But then I decided that I'm going to try an old tried and true trick, is give it a little bit more exposure. So I did. And then I developed it in T-Max Developer. And I definitely give two thumbs up to the FPP's EDU 200.
Yes.
Fantastic film. Really,
absolutely.
Really good.
Yep.
Now, as for a film stock I can't stand, Now, don't get me wrong. It has fantastic tones. It looks absolutely wonderful and has beautiful grain. But QC for this bloody damn stuff is horrid. And I'm talking about Shanghai Film. Their GP3, I have had a entire box of 4x5 sheets of experience into this, and every single one wasn't just crap. It was like, I wish it was made out of nitrate base so I could burn it and have some kind of excitement out of it. It is so bad. It had, for one, the emulsion started about a quarter inch from the edge of the sheet. The anti-halation layer started about 3/4 of an inch from the edge of the sheet, and there were machine marks through the whole thing. And I'm not the only one that's had issues with this. Another gentleman that has shot it, this fantastic photographer, Andrew Corin, he shot it, and he said that the notch marks were actually in the wrong corner. So before he realized that, he was loading the sheets upside down in his holder.
Oh, no.
And he was just a little bit ticked about that. He lost a lot of not only landscapes but model shoots, because he does a lot of 4x5 model shoots.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, there was another gentleman. Oh, what was his name? Mario. I think it was Mario Lobo. He has a Glover 5x7, and he said the sheets of 5x7, which he gave me, are too small. So they fall right out of the holder. So QC on the Shanghai,
wow.
I would say avoid. So seriously, Shanghai Film, just pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Could I jump in for one little helpful hint on using the Shanghai? Because I've had problems with the roll film in medium format.
It bleeds through.
Yeah.
The backing paper
bleeds through. Yeah. I've had that with every single roll of GP3. I've only successfully shot one roll of GP3.
Wow.
One.
It's been suggested to me that one way to try to at least lessen it is to do a pre-soak of the film. So if you're developing your own Shanghai,
always pre-soak.
And even with the pre-soak, you're still getting the bleed through?
Yep.
Burn it. Guaranteed no bleed through. Burn it.
Yep. Definitely. Okay, so the film that I don't like is Ilford Delta 400. The first time I developed it myself, I developed it in DDX, which is supposed to be the matching developer. Like the T-Max film, you use T-Max developers. With the Delta films, you use DDX.
Yeah, that's
Ilford.
The Delta developer.
Right? This thing came out grainy, muddy. I mean, this was also 35 millimeter. And it's just like, what the heck is going on here? I mean, like, I was shooting this in a decent camera. The exposure was dead on. But it was just like, I'm getting grain. I'm getting just gray. There was no blacks. There was no whites. Nothing. No amount of Photoshop trickery could bring this film back. I'm like, well, I mean, I don't really like HP5 and 35 millimeter either. So it's like, but HP5 is great in 4x5 and 120. So I'm like, well, maybe Delta 400 is the same way in 120. So I developed it in, I think, either Microfin or Perceptol, which actually with Microfin, I got some really good results out of 35 millimeter HP5. So I thought, well, maybe the same here. Yeah, no. It wasn't as grainy because, again, you have the bigger film stock. But, again, there was no contrast there. Now, there's only one person that I know of who has really gotten good results out of Delta 400, a gentleman by the name of Peter, who's a part of the Milton Camera Club, who does street photography with a Leica MP. So he has a lot of money. But he actually pulls it to 320 and then gives it an extra minute in the developer, and that actually cleans it up to him. But, I mean, I've tried that, and I still don't like the film. I mean, Ilford's a great company. I will continue to support them. I love HP5 in 120 and 4x5. FP4 is hands down my favorite film stock from them, but they definitely missed the mark with Delta 400, I think.
I'm feeling very validated to hear you say this because, you know, I've never been happy with Delta 400 except one roll where I thought the camera back was loaded with Delta 100.
And you pulled
it. So I exposed it at EI 100 instead of 400. And then I actually developed it with the developing time for a 200.
Huh.
And I love the results I got.
There we go.
Beautiful tonality. But yeah, if you expose it at whenever I've done it at box speed, forget it. It's grainy. It's flat. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to go up against T-Max 400. That's its competitor. Kodak won that round.
Kodak won that round.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of T-Max 400 either. If I'm shooting a 400 speed film, it's Tri-X.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hands down, Tri-X is no Tri-X. Questions asked. I will pay the exorbitant prices that Kodak is charging the Canadian distributors just to shoot Tri-X, or I just order it from the FPP, hands down.
Delta 400, I have had, I've had some good results with it, so I'm kind of surprised, but then again, I mean, a lot of time I develop it in T-Max developer, and I have developed it in Rodinal. Now, yes, I agree, it is pretty grainy for a Delta film. Like, it makes no sense, because I've seen T-Max 400 developed in Rodinal, and I swore blindly that what I was looking at was at least 120 roll film. Yeah, it was 35. It was so clean, but it was 35. So I don't know, maybe reformulation, maybe just get rid of the line entirely for the Delta 400 and stick with HP5. I don't know, but I'm not too fond of the look I get either. And I've shot it in 120. I've shot it in 35.
Try shooting it at 100, developing it at 200.
I was given a free roll, which is the only price I pay for it, a free roll in 35 millimeter. So I'm probably going to just try it. I'm going to try it at 200 and use like a micro, like a Perceptol or like a Legacy Pro clone. Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity. I certainly won't be using it for anything important.
And don't use Diafine. Like T-Max, Delta Grain, Acros, and Diafine. Well, I'm not so sure about Acros. I've seen some actually half decent results of Acros and Diafine, but they're not the don't even try Diafine with those tabular and Delta Grain films.
No. Well, that about wraps it up for this shit show. Now, as always, these are simply our opinions on these cameras and films. I'm sure that there are people out there who love the cameras that we've just completely and totally torn apart and love the films that we just fully torn apart. But again, this is just our opinion. By all means, share with us cameras that you found were crappy.
We'd love to hear from it.
We'd also like to see you commit acts of wanton acts of destruction.
Just be careful, please.
Just don't injure yourself and others in the process. We do not hold ourselves responsible. So that's about it for this show. My name's Alex Oaks, and this was definitely not a kid-friendly show.
This is John Meadows, and remember, you might think you hate the camera. The camera hates you even more.
This is Mike Bataxi signing off. And when you think about that wonderful SpaceX rocket that exploded, there's a reason for that. They loaded it with Alinas.
This is Donna Bataxi. Keep that film rolling.